What's up, Kraken Aces listeners? You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if gaudy pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
King.
How are we doing, boys?
King Mints.
Oh, man. How's life? This is going to be a fun one today.
Yeah. Before.
What's up? What's up with Deep? Something happened?
No, he's coming on. I just wanted to, we can just start the show. We can bring him on right now. I just wanted to do the ad read before he came on.
Yeah. I just didn't know if anything was going down. If he started a fight with someone.
No. Oh, well, I don't know if you've been following it, but all sorts of cheating scandals and allegations and all that stuff. Yeah. And then Deeb called Bryn Kenny out on it 2 years ago or something. And everybody called Deeb an idiot. And now he's kind of just like trying to stunt on people. So I invited him onto the podcast because he doesn't like holding back and he deserves a platform. And I'm happy to give it to him. Jake?
I wish Deeb did that interview.
Yeah, so this comes on the heels of Bryn Kenny. He does an interview, and we'll talk to Sean about it, with Sarah Herring, who I've met, and she's very nice. She just did an interview with Bryn, and she was very in over her head.
She's too nice.
She would ask us a question. Bryn would lie for 15 minutes of an answer where he would just say a lot of words, but not really answer a question. And then she would kind of fall asleep in the middle of it. And then she just moved on to the next question. It was rather worthless. This scandal has also brought Joey Ingram out of the grave, which was cool. People thought Joey would never show his face on YouTube again or Twitch again. He was living, I've talked to him a few times, as I've said, he was just kind of living like the quiet life, just doing NFTs and all that, but he jumped in, but he did best. He did a couple live streams talking about it. So before we get to Sean, Ben Mintz, who do we have to talk about before we get to Sean?
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
.com or a local retailer. Look for the bottle that has been aged 6 years. It's perfect for all your needs. I can't wait to take a swig and tap dance on the dance floor at Jake Tool's wedding a month from Saturday? From last Saturday? Yeah.
No.
The 21st.
Yeah, it was last Thursday.
Oh, yeah. I'm an idiot. I was just thinking four Saturdays from Saturday, whatever.
Keep going.
Whistlepigwhiskey.com. Pick it up. We drink it all the time. And I just sent the link to Sean.
It's going to be a hell of an interesting interview with Sean D. We've got coming up on today's podcast.
I just think we let him fly.
Oh, I believe we will. And I feel like many clips will come out of it because, you know, background, Nate was discussing this off the air. But 2 years ago, he called out Bryn Kenny on a lot of this stuff, and people kind of ignored Sean and took Bryn's back. And Sean felt a little ostracized, I believe, by people not giving him credit. And now with what happened and all the multi-accounting, everything that came out in the last week or two, I'm sure Sean's going to have some poignant thoughts on the situation today.
Here's the only thing I'll say about that, and I really don't know. Did he have any, like, hard proof back then? Or was he just saying shit?
I think it was, like, nobody has proof of anything, right? Like, it's more just, like,
But we have, at least now we have, like, firsthand sources.
What I've learned is the poker
That's all I'm asking.
The poker world is so obsessed with the word proof and disregards when, like, 80 people of high regard all believe the same thing. They just go, we don't have proof. Like, I don't know, fuck proof. I've said a lot dumber things without proof, and who cares about proof?
But my point is did he say something that just happened to be right multiple years later, or did he say something because he knew?
Why don't we ask him that in 5 seconds, I guess.
Yeah.
I'll say one other development worth mentioning on this. I know Dave Misikowski pretty good. I used to run around with him.
Who?
Yeah, who?
David.
Say his full name.
Hey, guys.
I mean, what everybody's called.
What's his name?
Ben won't do it.
Dave Misikowski.
What's his name?
I don't know what y'all are referring to. Y'all vulgar minds.
What I miss.
Deeb knows his name.
Cocksucker Mikowski?
Yeah. Does everybody hate that guy?
Not Ben Mintz. The first time ever at the Wynn, and I actually liked him. We had a good rapport, but I knew he was one of Brent's boys, so I immediately knew he was a scumbag.
Yeah, real quick, Mintz, that was such a funny tweet you sent us. You're like, I used to hang out with this guy. It looks like he's fallen off a bit. And then it was like, yeah, he just murdered someone.
Soggy Dog, yeah.
I would he say he probably,
yeah. Back in, he used to be one of the Obodog people back in the day, Wade Wolfel. And, like, he actually – I mean, this is 10 years ago, so a lot can change. But he actually, like, seemed pretty straight-laced back then. But
seems like something changed.
Yeah, clearly time's changed on him. He was a really good poker player, too.
Well, hello, Mr. Deeb. How are you?
Hey, is vaping okay during this?
Sure.
You sure? If you're, I don't care.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
How are you?
It's been a fun fucking week.
We were talking 2 seconds ago that you have some tweets from 2019 kind of not calling Bryn out for straight up scamming and cheating, but he made, like, some huge side bets, but he was also saying he was $3 million in makeup. And you're like, this clip is sad. It's scary that he says he has half his bankroll on his piece of the tourney, then made a ton of massive side bets, which I'm guessing equaled or greater to the amount he had of himself. So if he lost and got scooped on bets he couldn't pay, hashtag free roll. And you got a lot of blowback from the entire high stakes community from that tweet, basically saying Bryn made bets that he would never be able to pay if he didn't win this $20 million trading tournament. And now you've kind of been tap dancing, somewhat proven right, I guess, kind of.
I mean, a lot of them defended him saying, oh, he's so honorable, he would never do anything. And I've known from years from different horses of his who have approached me throughout the years have said some of the stuff he made them do, sharing hole cards, ghosting, basically using players were funding their own bankrolls. He was backing them, but he had no intention to pay that. Like, he had no ability to pay them at the time. So when he talks in these interviews about being so massively in debt while staking so many people, a lot of the time the horses were putting up their own money. And I personally think that's so fucked up. And that's, like, you know, one of the things during the interview with Sarah Herring that I would have brought up is he brags about his lavish lifestyle while being in debt $5 million or whatever he said. And obviously that money's coming from somewhere. So, and he's borrowing this money that he has no ability to pay back. And that's something that the old school gamblers taught me and that I feel is true about poker and gambling in general is don't borrow money you can't pay back. Unless you make the agreement that you're going to pay it back in, you know, X number of months or X number of years. But a lot of people he was borrowing money from are horses who are, you know, fronting their own money for buy-ins, had no idea he was as insolvent and or that massively in debt.
So can you explain a little like the high stakes poker ecosystem? Like, who is Bryn borrowing money for? Like, Bryn's backing people. Is he also backed for, like, I don't know, the $1 million tournaments he's playing as well? And like, how does this whole ecosystem work?
So I'm not fully involved in the high stakes community as much as I used to be, but my perception of the way it is, you know, I apologize if he doesn't want his name out, but Bryn's backer, he has said in other things throughout the years, is Kerry Katz. I like Kerry a lot personally. He's done an amazing job for poker. He's a very thoughtful, caring person. I've enjoyed all my interactions with him. And from day one, as soon as I knew he was doing business with Bryn, I tried to push him away from that. And it's funny, the tweet you referenced in 2019, I tweeted that during World Series Europe. I was at Rozenov. And the next day, the tournament, I think, was the 10K short deck, or like 2500 short deck, whatever it was. And Kerry kind of cornered me and was really pissed off at me. He's like, hey, you know, I was backing him, so like he would have paid. And I was like, did you know about all the bets? Like, were you aware that he was making these bets and you were going to front the money if he lost them? You know, and he kind of didn't necessarily answer that. And also, this is when I was in peak quarrel with Daniel Negreanu, and Negreanu looked at any opportunity to join a fight against me. So he called me out saying, Bryn's this great guy, all this stuff. And, you know, I've known for a long time. Bryn was one of the first people I met in poker. You know, we both, being from New York, went to Turning Stone. We were 18 years old. Bryn was like, he always seemed like a kid who was trying too hard to impress people. Back then, he dressed like a wigger. You know, whatever he thought was cool was what he went to do. And he talked a lot of shit. We all did back then. And he was a good player. He still is a good player. But he's not the elite best in the world that he wants to be. And I think part of the reason all those high-stakes guys defended him is because Bryn is kind of that middle to bottom tier reg. And so Bryn did a great job of organizing one-day high rollers throughout different trips, whether it was Europe or somewhere else. But Bryn, from what I was told from a couple of people, would basically bum hunt them. If he couldn't get, you know, I'm just going to throw out some names who are, they're good, great poker players, but they're not the best in the world. Like, if he can get Paul Newey or, you know, Dan Shack or, you know, eventually Lauren Roberts, a different fish, he wouldn't play the tournament. If he didn't get some of the Russians, who I forget all their names throughout the years. So he was a big game selector back then when it was his own money. Or, you know, money he was borrowing from someone. I don't know what his situation was back then. And I just always had that inkling that I knew he was a piece of shit. And I got close with a couple of his horses who told me a lot of shady shit he did throughout the years. And those horses never want to go public because they knew they'd get bashed. Bryn has a lot of, you know, friends in poker. And it just looks like the angry horse who got mad they got dropped. When what I think he did to his horses was much worse than that. And I think that a lot of them didn't want to deal with the backlash that Martin is getting. I mean, Martin has his history with, you know, his assault as a late teenager and different things. And he's not the cleanest kid ever. So he's going to get his life put under a microscope as the whistleblower. That isn't fair.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that since this Martin Zamani stuff has come out, none of Bryn's horses have backed Bryn, and nobody that plays high stakes poker that, I mean, Bryn was like, people who know me know I'm not scum, but I didn't see anybody.
Well, sir, that defended, he put out a statement because he kind of, the worst allegations were towards him.
Wait,
and Sergey Rodchik or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. One guy I'd never heard of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was one of the best online hyper sit and go players. I remember playing with him at the World Series, like 7-8 years ago. We made like day five together. And I was like, I don't know who this kid is online, but he's a beast. Like, that's the sickest thing, like, about these allegations. Also, got to include, like, you know, the Jake Schindler, the Ali Islamic, is like, these are winning poker players who have won millions of dollars at poker, yet they still feel the necessity to cheat to increase their edge that much smaller. Like, that's just sad to me. Like, I don't know. You guys can beat the game straight up. Just fucking beat them. Stop being a scumbag and push another 3% edge and make sure that you don't even have to use your brain, which is probably better at poker than some of these RTAs might be, because your instincts are amazing. You know, I've lost heads up to Jake. He's a much better player than me. Ollie, I play with, he's a much better player than me. And I've been able to win millions of dollars in poker. So I can only imagine what those guys could do with their skill set. So why the fuck are you cheating? Why are you that desperate for attention or notoriety or just that money hungry to push it that far when you could have been clean. You could have shown a whole generation of poker players how to make it with hard work, intelligence, and skill. And instead, now you just tarnished our whole generation, which is so embarrassing for our industry.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that last week. It's almost, you know, you talk about Brynn and, you know, he has all these accolades, but based on everything you hear, even if he, after he won a tournament for $20 million, you don't really know his financial situation. So it's like not as surprising to see someone like that, like continue the hustle, and especially with all the GG like referrals and all that whole pyramid scheme that they seem to be running over there. Like that's less surprising than the Ali Jake thing, where it's just like these guys have done so well, like they're poker rich, they're probably crypto rich, and they're also running these like lower stakes ghosting stables too. Like, it just blows my mind that they would even have anyone would have any interest in doing that.
Yeah, I mean, Jake, obviously, you know, and I know, like back in the day, you remember Waffle Crush, and I know Mincy probably knows that the other guys might not, was the staking group that myself, Viv Rajkumar, and Thea Rasmussen had. And back then, a lot of the stables were doing the ghosting. We didn't. We lost millions of dollars. We pretty much all three, Vivek didn't go broke, but me and Thayer went very close to broke. I had to pick up a backing deal just because we had so much makeup, because we knew it was accepted back then that ghosting was kind of okay, but it wasn't kind of okay, but it was assumed it was happening with horses and stables, and we never did it. I remember one time that myself, Thayer, and three of our horses all made the final table of the PokerStars Super Tuesday. 1K buy-in, it's like 90K to first. We got 9th, 8th, 7th, like 6th and 4th place because we didn't do anything shady. We all played straightforward, and because of, you know, it was tough for us. I think all of us were not necessarily taking spots with each other. We all were short stacks and we all just got basically blinded out, you know, and we didn't do any chip dumping. We didn't do anything shady. We didn't share hold cards. Like, we could have made $500,000 extra that day if we chose to cheat, which would have been such a significant amount of money to any of us back then. But my circle, thankfully, were very honorable. I learned from great players. I learned about ethics. I used to be in a room, you know, like, you know, probably 1,000 times where someone would say, oh, I have ace jack here. I'm like, don't tell me. And they're like, oh yeah, I forgot you don't like that. You know, I could think of 20 plus times grinding online in hotel rooms on the circuit somewhere. And someone would try to share hope cards because that was so common with people in the same room. And I was so against it. And I was so frustrated. And then, you know, if anyone kept trying to do that, I would just never grind with them again. So usually they would mention something once and I would just be like, listen, I don't want to play that game. We don't need to do, like, and I would just really shut it down right away.
Yeah, yeah. The ghosting is right. Ghosting to some degree has been going on for years, and it's been a problem, and it probably always will be. The real like the dangerous stuff is all the RTA. I mean, the ghosting is dangerous because
I think the ghosting is going to be more difficult than the RTA because the ghosting is harder for a site probably to detect and prove. The RTA is, I have a feeling there's going to be software, and I'm sure they have features out there already to say, hey, you're playing so close to GTO in this spot. Oh, you make no mistakes. You never misclick. You never time out. You have exact sizings that are so consistent. Your breakdown of range is so similar. You know, I feel like I'm lucky because my game is so bad that no one will ever accuse me of being an RTA guy because what I do, there's no math or logic behind it. Some of my plays, I'm just a spaz at heart. You know, not as bad as fucking 3-4 suited, but, you know, I'm up there.
I mean, suck my dick. That was unnecessary. So one guy that's not brought up by you just now, but he openly admits to cheating, like, and he doesn't hide it, is Mark Herm. He won a WSOP 5K last night under some random guy's name who has $3,691 in live earnings. Just
I was the first person to publicly out him as well. I was the one who called out Herm last year, saying I regret being friends with him. You know, because I had been told about the $3,200 that he made, that he won the bracelet event. I alerted the Caesars and World Series staff, and unfortunately, they weren't able to find enough proof to take back the money or make any statement or give any punishment. So In my tweet, I said, I've been friends with Markham for many years. I regret being friends, knowing that he's this person and thinks that this is acceptable. And he has that mentality that online poker, everyone's trying to cheat. If you're not trying to cheat, you can't win.
I mean, he laughs about it openly on Twitter. Like he doesn't even hide the fact that he's just playing on all sorts of screen names and just winning a bunch of money anonymously, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure he's doing shady stuff tax-wise. Like, I really hope if any site or any Department of Justice person wants to really make a difference in regulating U.S. poker, take down Markham first. He really is. No, seriously, like, it's so obvious that there's going to be easy proof. You just fucking get a search warrant, look in his computer, look in his logs, check his phone. You're going to see 1,000 shady things of him siphoning millions of dollars out of our ecosystem, and he's just a giant piece of shit. He has no qualms about it. I also know about stuff Mark's done in home games, or like, you know, the online clubs. He was got invited to a fish-only mixed game and let a top-tier pro play his account. And the group that he was running, people were sharing hold cards in it, and are not sure us. Who was it? Chris Klodnicki was being ghosted by Mike the Hat, and it was known to Mark, but he didn't let the fish know. Didn't want him to know because he didn't want to have to pay back the money that was stolen from people. And you know, it's very disappointing that those two players, who again are great winning players, choose to get desperate and cheat in such a situation where they don't have to. Claude can beat most mixed games. You know, Mike the Hat can beat most mixed games. Okay, he may not have a seat to that club. He has other games he can play. I was not allowed to play that club, probably because, you know, Mark knew if I was in there, I would have exposed to a lot of the shady shit he was doing, and it would have came to light a lot sooner what a piece of shit he is, and maybe some people would stop being friends with him and stop giving him free money in different spots.
Jake?
I mean, there's nothing. Obviously, I agree with everything. There's nothing really to add on to it, other than he's right. If somehow someone took it seriously enough to like actually investigate it, it would probably be the easiest thing to realize what's going on. But you know, I don't really know what to say at this point, because like, yeah, what happens is we just keep talking about it and coming up with different ideas for ways to regulate things.
So Jake, I have an idea, and I've offered my services to one particular regulated site. And maybe if anyone's listening to this from those other sites, I will happily join as a consultant. You don't have to fucking pay me money. I want to see our industry cleaned up. I will happily help in any way I can and give direction and siphon. You know, one of the things I hate hearing during these weeks is everyone saying, oh, the sites hate when players report different things because player reported cheating is so rarely caught. And most of it's caught by our own back-end services. That's a claim made by a lot of the poker sites. And I think that's because the people that are getting those requests aren't talking to high stakes guys, aren't trusted enough. And people are giving them information, but their you know, bar of proof for execution is just too high. So you know, Sean, another thing.
Sean, yeah. I know you don't love the guy, but potential Ryan LaPlante. He was like, we're building an RTA like database that we're
whatever he says is bullshit.
Well, hold on. He's like,
I know. I saw the pleats.
He's trying to give it to the sites for free. So if people make claims, they can then cross like whatever, like look at the information that they've gathered against how the players play. And if it lines up like too directly, then you have definitive proof.
I'm pretty sure the sites already have similar software available to them that's probably more advanced than his stuff.
All right. Your disdain for him.
No, listen.
I actually agree.
It's nothing personal. It's nothing personal to him. It's everyone thinks they have the better wheel. But okay, really, these sites have way, way bigger, you know, employment, bankroll, if you want to call it, or like budget. So they're spending tens of millions of dollars while potential has a couple people working as a side job. You know, I just think that the people they hire are going to be more computer security specialists who probably have some stuff they know that they obviously don't want public, because that lets the cheaters know how to not get caught. And, you know, plenty of bot rings have been caught. Different things have happened where sites have had success in security. And even some of the unregulated, you know, clubs and apps have had success in regulating cheating in different ways. And our community just has to do a better job. And I really think, like, I know people are moving away from the idea of the poker blacklist, but I think there are ways to do it. And that's another thing, like after the World Series, I'm going to look at starting the business. And obviously my goal is not financial. I just want to clean up the industry. And I have some ideas of giving a list to different live sites saying, you guys are a private entity. You can choose to bar anyone. Here's a sliding scale of how egregious cheaters are and what, you know, is quote unquote, some stories that have been said about them. Like I would even bring up stuff about Men the Master back in the day. Like I know all you guys getting to poker heard jokes about him adding chips back in the day with horses. And there was a fire in a hotel room and, you know, they found a bunch of tournament chips in there. So there's always each generation, people are trying to cheat different ways, but exposing that. And if the first live venue who says, hey, you know, we're going to take this player implemented list, we're a private entity, and we're just going to bar them on the recommendation of this company. And I don't know, I have talked to obviously lawyers to see how to legally do that, but I would love to be, you know, the leader of that and push that forward, because I think a lot of recreational players, they go somewhere and say, all these people who have been barred for cheating, whether it was online RTA, you know, ghosting, multi-accounting, chip dumping, whatever shady thing they've done, if they're barred from the property, you're going to feel like your experience is a lot better. You have a fair shot. And you're, I think anyone going to that property is way less likely to cheat, knowing that they're that aggressive that they don't need the definitive proof that has been the generic bar for properties from banning people throughout the, you know, poker's history. So
when you run into an issue there where, let's say, Justin Bonomo was one of the OG like multi-accounters, but that was what, 15 years ago at this point? Like,
so I would include that in my bio, Justin, saying, you know, he was barred for many years. He may or may not have cleaned up his act, you know, but that's your own justification. Is you choose, do I want to bar everyone who's done something the last 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, or anyone on the list? Like the property itself can choose where on the scale to go from. But I think everyone with a tainted past, that should be out there. I mean, there's a reason why you have a criminal record and you can look up what people did, you know, throughout their life. So why don't we have a proper criminal record?
So that's, so you want to start a Sean Deeb's FBI poker watch list?
I'm okay with that.
that would eventually...
Deeb's most wanted list.
Yeah, and eventually get to like a college football program death penalty for like
I'm imagining Sean with like an earpiece in and like he has like his like Sean Deeb like FBI shirt on and he's talking into the walkie-talkie with Thayer and like his old Waffle Crush boys just patrolling the hallways at the WSOP.
Hey, I already figured out the Markham police got a promotion. You know, we became a detective.
I think the biggest issue, I mean, I honestly agree with you, Sean, but it's like the incentive for the casinos in these online sites, they're just not aligned. You know, that's where most of the issues come from, right? Like party poker might be, and seemingly is very motivated to clean up a lot of the RTA stuff, the ghosting stuff, whatever it might be. Based on what we're hearing from GG and like their lack of really talking about any of this is that they don't give a shit.
Well, I think part of the reason GG is so quiet is they're in the middle of trying to get a U.S. license. So this is probably couldn't have been worse timing for them for this to come out. And I'm sure they want as little publicity. So they're not making any statement until their license, either they get denied or get it. Then I think you'll see a statement out of them. And then hopefully you'll see something proactively done because obviously a lot of things need to be cleaned up. And, you know, back to one of the things about Brynn is one of the claims that Martin makes about him stealing his sub-agents and taking their clubs and taking their group and taking their rake. He's done that too. I know of 10 particular people and that I know of that have brought it up to me throughout the last couple of years. So I can imagine how many people he's actually done that to and how much rake he's actually generating. And he's still acting as an agent for them. And I'm sure GG doesn't want it public about their agent system. Well, unfortunately, you've operated that way for so many years. It's going to come down. And now this stuff is going to get national attention at some point. There's going to be some Dateline, you know, or 2020 type thing on this scandal because there's enough validity to it that it needs to be investigated by proper journalists.
I mean, it really, from my understanding of it, it's just a straight up pyramid scheme. It's kind of insane.
I think pyramid scheme makes it seem like people are being defrauded. I think it's just your normal multi-level marketing, you know,
But aren't they being defrauded? Like, if I come on as your, if you're my agent or whatever, you're above me, and I'm under, you know, going by the understanding that I'm going to be bringing in players, and, you know, I'll be receiving a percentage of the rake, and you'll be receiving a percentage of the rake. But then at any point, you can just be like, "No, fuck off, Jake."
Well, I think that's specifically what Brin's doing. I don't think any other agents are doing that, unless the agent does. Special case. I think Brin is just such a scumbag and is so fucking greedy and such a piece of shit that he's willing to do anything to steal people to fund his quote unquote feng shui lifestyle. Like, it's a fucking joke, man. Like, he's so many $1 million in debt, and I'm taking private jets. If I was ever fucking broke, I'll be fucking living on someone's couch, working my ass off, trying to get it back, not spending as much money as I possibly can while owing the world millions of dollars. And while pretending, keeping up this lifestyle so you can keep funneling money or getting a new backer. Like, there's so many things that he says so nonchalantly, like, it's totally acceptable. Like, oh yeah, of course I can get $5 million out of the hole. Of course, I was down $10 million in tournaments. It's no big deal. You know how many few people have had $10 million upswings in poker in that short time span, no matter how good you are? Like, I just think everything he's ever won should be really taken under a microscope. And I even said, I think it was yesterday, that I think if there was any hands that were questionable in that tournament where he had all those side bets, knowing he's willing to have horses chipped on and collude in satellites, which I believe 100%, because if you're guaranteeing the, if you're the personal guarantee behind the prize pool, it makes sense to gamble in the satellites so that you don't have overlay. Because even if Martin calls with deuce seven off and he wins 25% of the time, that's 25% of the time less of a buy-in he has to put in. So he's going to end up losing that money anyway. He's on a stone free roll to have his horses gamble in the tournament, in the satellite. And, you know, I played the heads up tournament at Aria, a great event this past week. And Dan Shack came up to me. I'm always not sure if I'm should name names, but Dan's a great guy and he's very honorable. And he even says, like, it's so ridiculous. I remember when they were playing all those 25Ks, Brent would always message me as Reg is going to close, "Oh, there's a ton of overlay and a bunch of fish you got to play." And he would be like, I would hop in. And then as soon as I hop in, there's no overlay. Because he had all his horses and all these other people, you know, hopping in right away.
There was online, you mean?
Yeah, online. There was a previous scandal on Party Poker doing the same thing. There was like a whole staking group that I think it was Pads went public with, or I don't know. I don't remember exactly who was behind it, but there was questions of why these tournaments all of a sudden had overlay, and then people get messages, "Hey, you have a 20% free roll to play this tournament." So the person who was putting up the guarantee and the overlay had a deal with the site. If they found players to fill the overlay, they got a cut of, you know, the money saved, and then they would split up that money between the horse who played legitimately and the site, you know, and the guy who found them to play.
Kind of makes sense though for all the horses to stay quiet, right? If Bryn was giving me free rolls and 5Ks and 10Ks, I'd probably shut the fuck up and just play the 5Ks and 10Ks.
Well, that's the one thing that worries me about some of the things I say is I think I was trying to think of a way to incentivize people from outing each other and basically flipping, you know, turning on each other. And with this blacklist, I thought about one of my ideas was saying, whoever approaches me the first, like, you know, 20% of a group that I take down that approaches me with information that give proof on the other people, they'll be, you know, protected from the blacklist. Because I think there has to be some way to incentivize those who cheated for whatever reason they did. Like, I like Martin as a person, but what he did, his excuse of doing it because he was dead broke, because he had no other option, that's bullshit. You know, there's plenty of ways to do it besides being a scumbag.
Right, because you want to live that 5K, 10K buy-in tournament lifestyle. Like, oh, I only need to win one of these. Like, I'll have like this fucking sick life. And if Bryn Kenny is just like an open checkbook, like, I see why people do it. You know, these guys who grinded on PokerStars or whatever way back in the day, who maybe aren't so good at poker, who could never play these tournaments ever in their life on their own. I mean,
no, you're misunderstanding me. I'm not talking about accepting a backing deal. I'm talking about doing shady shit under that backing deal to keep the backer happy.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. Fine.
He is a cult leader. He somehow manipulates these people and joining his cult.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude.
Go buy it. Go drink it. Drink responsibly and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb. Drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
And they just go with it, right?
I just think people were desperate and they took whatever money they could. And he found a bunch of weak individuals to pry on them who were desperate, who would say anything to him just to, you know, keep up their status. Some of them didn't want it public. They were broke, you know. And there's so many horses of his throughout the years that I've known. And I now really wonder how many of them actually are good people. How many of them are actually trustworthy poker players? How many people am I happy to play in a five-handed game with two of them? You know, that's where I would love to see a list of the people he backed throughout the years, so we at least have a starting point of some people to really keep an eye on, some hands in the future or whatever else. And I just hope Brin leaves poker in general. I hope there's massive lawsuits against him. I hope he's ashamed and embarrassed. But, you know, if the main poker media companies are so soft on him that we're going to have to leave it up to Joe Ingram and Doug Polk and hopefully you guys to pick up the slack and really let people know how bad it is and hopefully embarrass him that he actually goes back in the hole he belongs in.
My take on all that, and it's what I've told Jake and I kind of said it to you, is I never think any, like Mike Postle, some kind of stuff happened. It basically got thrown out by the judge. Like nothing ever really happens. I think that's why like Herm is like kind of like openly bragging about it. He's like, what the fuck are they going to do to me? Like nothing ever really happens. Like people,
there actually were a couple, it's going blast from the past. I wish I actually found the research in this, but there were a couple of people who colluded, short stacking the high stakes poker stars games, and they actually brought lawsuits against them. And there's someone who did Trojans on accounts. Like there has been accountability throughout the years. There have been a few people have cheated in different instances. Yes, it's few and far between, but at least there's a starting point. There at least are some judges and some prosecutors and lawyers who know how to do the right thing.
I mean, Russ Hamilton, nothing really happened. Lederer, Ferguson, they still play, sit at table with people that they stole money from.
I mean, I personally think that Lederer and Ferguson are not as at fault as you do. I mean, we get in this argument, I think, every time on this podcast.
Right. Yeah, I remember you said, yeah, you mentioned that. In the court of,
like, I don't think they're not clean, but I don't think they did anything nefarious. Like, I think sometimes in business with accounting, with such big corporations, not everyone knows what's going on. Just like not every employee of UB was complicit. I don't think Phil Hudnuth was complicit. I don't think, you know, I think there are people who were involved and knew about it, but I do think there are people who were naive, just accepted the check, life is good, and they could never imagine when you have such an amazing money fossil that you'd be so fucking stupid to do something shady. The same thing with Brin. With all this fucking action he has on GG, I'm sure he's getting infinite rake back every single fucking week. So I know there's thousands of accounts that are underneath him and his sub-agents that he's absorbed all of them. And who knows what rake back he's giving them. So I'm sure his deal is amazing. And he still, you know, has a relationship with GG. And I think GG needs to do a job of cleaning up all the accounts under him and removing Brin from making any money off their site. And they really need to figure out a way of, if they keep the agent system that they're currently doing, moving all of his accounts away from him, basically pull a Brin Kenny on Brin Kenny.
Yeah.
I just want to follow up on the cult stuff a little bit. I know y'all may have touched on this last week, but who the hell would force someone to eat frog poison as part of their, I mean, how is this real life?
Like, okay.
Tell me more about this.
So did anyone happen to you? I know a couple of you guys, I know Nate, you turned it off, but I couldn't grab a screen grab in time. Did anyone see the fucking cup that Brin Kenny used on his thing?
No.
Did anyone notice this?
No.
So he has this motherfucking chalice that I'm sure was some obscene thing from some monastery or whatever. Like, I have a fucking Tervis cup because I have a family and I'm responsible with my money. He probably spent $1,000 on that cup. He's like, this is my fanciest cup. I'm going to drink this because I'm Mr. Big fucking Deal. Like, he's such a piece of shit. And every time he's ever called out someone, like in the years back when he called out myself or Doug, and we both offered to play him heads up, myself being Mixed Games, Doug being No Limit Hold'em, he says it's not worth my time, it's not this. Like, he wants to act like he's so high and mighty. And now we find the details that he was so desperate and so broke that he was siphoning off money off the person who's letting him live in his fucking house. You know how ridiculous that is? Lauren is one of the nicest people in poker, and he took advantage of her. And he poached her. He convinced her to play. He kept giving her more credit. Kept saying, "Oh, you got a shot." Gave her, "Oh, I'm going to help coach her. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Keep playing. Keep playing." Well, he's fucking telling all his goddamn horses to take all her goddamn money. That is so egregious and so fucked up. And then he wants to claim that he's the fucking victim, that Lauren took advantage of him, Lauren free-rolled him. I'm so happy Lauren stiffed him. And I really hope more people stiffen, because he screwed over everyone of the high-stakes community. No one made money besides Bryn Kenny while he was doing his shady shit.
Does he just show up to WSOP and play as if nothing's the matter?
He didn't show up last year because he said it's not worth his time. You know, me and him talk shit, and I wanted to do $1 million bet on player of the year, me versus him, because he thinks he's the world's greatest poker player. So, okay, let's see who's an actually good poker player. So, I mean, I'll throw that offer again. I'll put up $1 million. I'm sure I could raise $5 million to battle him if he wants to show up and get his ass kicked by real poker players who don't fucking cheat. But guess what? I will make sure that Caesars is watching every single one of his tables, because I know I'll have someone fucking trying to chip dump him because he's a piece of shit. So, you know, but I really think he's not going to show face. I hope he doesn't, because I think he's a stain on poker. I think he should be shunned from the community. I think he should be blacklisted from every gambling operation. I know he's trying to start a poker site. I'm so glad that he wasted millions of dollars on that, and he'll never get licensed anywhere, and he can't do shit. I hope he never makes a dollar in his life again.
Well said.
What do you think about him?
Yeah. So give us your off the top of your head, the first five people on the Sean Deeb FBI poker blacklist.
Bryn, Mark Herm, Ollie, Jake.
That's Jake Schindler, not Jake.
Jake or Jake Schwartz. There's a lot of good Jakes. And then probably Chad Power.
Chad Power, the Maryland boy?
Oh, he's scumbag.
Oh no. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's scumbag.
Damn. Oh, he ran all the games at Maryland Live or whatever.
I mean, they were quote unquote games, but they were not legitimate. There was also some stuff in some home games. Like, he's a piece of shit.
Damn. I haven't heard that.
Any honorable mentions?
Yeah,
just, you know, they gotta try a little harder. That'd be
cheat a little better.
Well, I think I don't know his exact name, but the Brazilian guy who's sponsored by PokerStars, who has like 1,000-person stable, and they actually have tiers of ghosts. So if you're at the highest buy-in final table, you get the tier one ghost. That's awesome. If you're at the 10th, you get the other one. So whatever that guy's name is, I know Pads has mentioned him before. Like, that's just ridiculous to literally run an empire out of your country where you just have people in a whole lot of computers and the ghosts are walking around going to the deepest final tables. And basically, we're going to get our best player at the highest equity situation possible.
Yeah, it's all unfortunate. I've been talking shit about ACR since we started this podcast. And I mean, they wouldn't have paid out millions because of bots and all that stuff if Joey didn't spend, you know, a good 6 to 9 months just going after them every night repeatedly with all the proof and evidence until they finally had no choice but to admit it. But ACR is still a dirty site where all sorts of nonsense is going on. And we've been saying since day one, like, just, you know, I mean, don't put more money than you're willing to lose or get cheated out mm-hmm. of. Everybody has a story about just shady play, no matter what site you play on. It's not, technology's gotten too good where it's just not a good time to play online poker.
I disagree a little bit on that. I think we're actually coming to a cusp where the sites are going to do so great, the regulation. And if there actually is punishments, if there's real world implications where people right. lose their freedom, people are going to the deterrence is going to be there. Because, you know, 99.9% of these poker players wouldn't survive a week in fucking jail or prison. We're all fucking weak. We're all fucking insecure, you know, whatever. We just wouldn't survive in that environment. If you put that fear and scare us, the community straight, I think we're at the ideal time for proper regulation, for proper big companies with the right security team, with the right hiring and the aggressiveness one thing that scares me is if they're too corporate where they can't make any statement. I would love sites to start outing people when they ban them for cheating. That would save so much time and effort, because especially with like so many of the illegal clubs that are going on, you say so-and-so, you know, did this on our site. they chipped them. Okay, they're done. And that's cool, but at least they're outed publicly where they can't just go to one of their 40 other sites and then reopen the ring. And that's the problem, is people get to kind of be like grifters like back in the day and just go to a new town and set up shop. There has to be
not even that. They can play on the same site under a new account.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
It's just,
and it's crazy because like PokerStars had IP banning 15, 20 years ago. So why are these sites not as good at it? And why is it not work? Like VPNs aren't that strong. Sites know when you're VPN, like 99% of the time. There are ways to get around that. That you know, I've heard direct from other people who have done those things. And also the sites have even directed some players and myself at different times to do this instead of that if you don't want to get caught. You know, that's kind of the gray area, but I think that the regulated companies have an opportunity to really protect poker, let it thrive again, because we've seen the numbers of live tournaments. People love poker. We're coming to a new poker boom, and this might be the perfect scandal to flush out the dirt and really clean up our industry so we actually could go to the public and be proud to be college styles poker players again.
I did read one thing. I can't remember who it was. He was like, if you're, you know, a low stakes guy or just like amateur, don't
let this,
like,
this, yeah.
Yeah. He was like, the RTAs and all that takes an edge from, like, I think you said 3% to 5%. So if you're playing, you know, a $55 tournament online, like, you're not just being like robbed and cheated at gunpoint out of all your money.
So his tweet actually said at high stakes, their ROI is 1 to 3%. At low stakes, it's 25 to 30%, but it's so slow to implement that playing more tables and playing exploitive at low stakes is way more profitable. That if you're playing $20 tournament with 10,000 people, you're not going to run into an RTA. You may run into a ghost at the final table, but that's just going to happen. And you should be paying attention enough. And this guy who was, you know, 3Xing every hand just starts min raising or 2.2Xing and overbetting the turn. They've never done that before. Then you fucking use your common sense to say someone else is on the account. I mean, Jay can tell you from back in the day, we all knew, you know, who was someone else at a final table based if they acted really differently. Oh, that's probably Sorrell ghosting him. Like, you know, that's another honorable mention.
That was the first name that came to my mind when you said that.
Well, I like, the funny thing is the new generation of cheaters, I forget about the previous generation because they're just have been around. There's so many of them. And it's just like, you forget of how desperate people were, how, you know, unethical they were, and how greedy they were.
Is Sorrell clean now? What's his deal?
I have no idea. You know, I play with him once during the series, and we definitely don't talk. We're not friendly. You know, I do regret one thing with Sorrell particularly. Jake will remember this. There was a 2+2 thread where I called out Sorrell for cheating John Reisner at Open Face. And with more details since then, I actually think that Reisner kind of played me and kind of tried to free roll him and try to cheat him. So I think they both might have been trying to scum each other. But I do regret that one outing because I don't think that Sorrell was doing what Reisner accused him of doing.
I have a cheating confession.
Uh-oh.
I once, when I was about 13, I was playing my dad in Heads Up No Limit, and I bottom dealt myself aces, and he caught me and he smacked the shit out of me.
how did you know how to do that at 13?
I clearly didn't know how to do it very well.
It's amazing.
And that was the extent of my cheating history.
Yeah, you got a lot better after that, right?
Yeah, I just learned how to do it better.
That guy Lucky Spewy, he was WSOP New Jersey Player of the Year. He is not happy online right now about.
Yeah, he's the one who called out the 5K account. Yeah, someone showed me that tweet yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he goes, if WSOP.com asks for full year bank statements of money coming in and out, most likely to see his winnings going to someone else's account via PayPal or wire. Like, it makes so much sense. Like, this guy who won the 5K last night for, you know, six figures, by all accounts is like not even a poker player, you know, like, and he played right, like perfect poker. WSOP.com has to do something. Like, they have to, like,
you say these things and
I don't know. I'm not WSOP.com. I don't know what they're supposed to do. They just have to do something, but like, you just can't allow that to happen.
Well, we've talked a lot about proof and, you know, not proof, but like, I don't know. I feel like if they were to do that and like audit that account,
yeah,
even if the whoever's account it was like, no, it was me, like this guy just stakes me, and that's why I sent him money, just be like, fuck off, we know you're lying, like you're out of here.
Yeah, there's a lot of plausible deniability in transfers and some other stuff, so in a court of law the limit of proof is going to be so much higher than you need a judge who literally played poker professionally. And that's where I think why we have to do it in our own hands in a lot of it, because we can say for sure that whoever was that account cheated, but to ban the person or arrest them, we're almost never gonna get to that level. But well,
can ban them, right?
But what's the point of banning him? It's not him whatsoever. He's done nothing. He just literally let someone sign up in his name and use his address and his bank account or his PayPal. And that could all be, you know, third party. And I don't even know, it could be totally a fake person in general. It could be no one whatsoever. It could be a stolen identity. I mean, there's so many things that I think I want to go after the cheater, not the person who was the mule.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it, like, in Vegas, card counting is not illegal, but you can be banned from casinos and they don't have to give you any fucking explanation. They can be like, we think you're card counting, you're out of here. And you can be banned from every casino. If you're a sharp sports betting, they can say you can't sports bet here, and they don't have to, you can't sue about it. You can't do anything about it.
Right.
Like the casino can just say, you're not allowed to sports bet here.
And I mean, you can sue. I mean, Ivy sued with his shit.
And he lost.
Yeah, but I mean, there are some recourses in that realm. And I do know that the World Series has power, you know, to ban the individuals for whatever reason they deem. And, you know, they ban people for some things. And I think that cheating, I would be shocked if within the next 2 years, the World Series doesn't have some type of rule or some type of people barred. You know, I haven't talked to Jack or any staff directly. I just know that it's something they care about. Jack is a very high integrity person of protecting the integrity of the game to the best of his abilities. And I think you're going to see, probably because the World Series is coming, they don't have time to do it now, but I would be shocked if there's not something implemented by next year.
It makes sense.
I mean,
yeah. Poker across the board, like it shouldn't matter if it's online or live, like it's the same game. Like,
Yeah, there actually is like there's a reasonable like connection between WSOP Live, WSOP Online, GG Poker, who is like a main sponsor of the World Series. Like, it's possible to get that kind of streamlined where there's people blacklisted over a couple different sites or in a live arena. Who knows, maybe if that happens, then that'll transfer over to Poker Go Tour at the Aria, and it could be
the discussions being had. You know, back in the day, I actually led the first ever boycott that I know of that I think ever happened. I helped get JJ Prodigy, who Jake and you guys probably remember, an online scumbag multi-counter.
Legend.
I forget what his real name is, but Josh Fields. Okay, so when he was finally turned 18 or 21, whatever, to play some Europe events, I basically made a post on the 2+2 MTT community saying, like, why are you guys letting this guy who's cheated us for years openly multi-account, openly make new accounts, do whatever he can? Like, why is he allowed to go to your events? And they actually barred him from wherever they went. And it was probably one of my favorite live poker interactions when he was allowed to go to Aussie Millions, which was right after PCA, what he got barred from. And he's just standing in the corner, and I think Stealth Monk was there. The Stealth Monk and JJ were boys. And I was close with Stealth Monk. He goes, that's JJ over there. And JJ's literally hiding behind a plant, trying to just watch me and doesn't want me to notice that he's there. And it was like really funny. And yeah, it was ridiculous. And thankfully people like him, you know, I think have left the community. But who knows?
I saw him in something last summer.
He definitely made a run in the main in sometime the last 3 years, I want to say 4 years. I remember his name popping up. Stealth Monk. Do we have any Stealth Monk update at all?
I hope he's still alive. During the series this year, I actually chatted with Brian Mikon about him. And Mikon says he thinks he's alive. Every couple months, he'll send him an email about this one particular hand that Stealth Monk is still upset about on his site. And he's like, I haven't gotten an email in a couple months, but I think he's still alive. I think he's, you know, probably he's homeless somewhere in Vegas tunnels, unfortunately. and people have offered to give him money and help him turn his life around, but he hasn't accepted anyone's offer. If I ever guessed to him, I would find a way to make it work for him as well. Like, I always felt bad for that kid. I always was close to them. I always thought he was, you know, brought in the circle of cheaters just because he was friends with them. And I always thought he was honorable. I think he has a great heart, and he means well. And I hope he finds happiness and success some way in life.
He backed me. Like, we used to talk like
every day. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah. I final tabled the Wednesday 320 while he backed me, and people thought a couple people were like, oh, he's obviously being like ghosted. I was like, no, South Monk's asleep right now. Like, he's not like ghosting me or anything. Like, he's literally been sleeping for the last like 24 hours. Like, he's not. I got a DM probably 6 months ago, someone saying that he is alive, like sleeping on a couch, but like doesn't talk to anybody or, you know, anything. It's sad. It sucks. Like, that his brain is one of a kind in both the best and worst ways.
I learned a lot from him. He's like one of those early 2+2 strategy guys where he played a lot like me, super lag, like was really intelligent and saw the game on another level. Like, you know, you meet those people who are so eccentric and you know they'll succeed if they actually put their mind to anything. And I think he's that person. But, you know, unfortunately, drugs and other difficulties and, you know, trauma that happened in his life, you know, it's unfortunate, but that happens to some people with a particular upbringing. And it's sad that, you know, society can't help them enough, but, you know, there is help for him if he wants it from his friends.
Yeah. I'll try to find it. He has this very long post on 2+2, like basically like he wrote his autobiography, and it's crazy the shit that he, like at 13, he was like already suicidal and just like, there's a bunch of crazy shit. So if anybody knows, let him know that everybody's willing to help. Just sad. Yeah.
Josh Field got 44th in Maine this past year, by the way.
This last year.
He didn't have a, there was no Hendon Mob result from 2015 until the main event this past year.
So he has been out of it. Good.
Yeah.
I remember he played like Commerce or something, or someone took a picture of him maybe playing cash there. I can't remember.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he hasn't been playing. It says his residence is Fort Lee, so I wonder if he plays in the New Jersey games.
Oh, really? Are you sure it's the same Josh Fields?
Yeah, I mean, it is a common name, so.
No, it's the same. I looked at his Hendon Mob.
Okay,
cool. But I'm saying, but sometimes Hendon Mobs get attached to the wrong name.
Yeah.
Because it's such a, like, there's some other one named Josh Fields play the tournament, they might attach to the wrong Hendon Mob.
I have a result from an all-in tournament in Tampa or something. I won it.
Congratulations. We're proud of you.
Yeah.
Ben Mintz, how are you?
Doing good. John, what are you playing these days? You said you played the Aria thing last week. You're playing Vegas stuff?
No, I live in New York.
But you're back in New York?
I've been in New York for 8 years.
Oh, no. I thought you told me you moved to Vegas. Sorry. Yeah, I thought you said that last time. Sorry.
Yeah, he did that. No. Said he went the whole summer, I think.
I'm going to do a live pod at Ted's Fish Fry.
What'd you say?
When are we going to do a live pod at Ted's?
You guys are welcome. We just opened a new one with a bar, so we can have, for those of you who still drink, you know, we can still do that.
Where is that?
There's 7 of them all in Albany.
Oh, they're
so
all.
You guys take the, if you guys want to take the train up here, we can go play Rivers. We can have a little fun, you know, if you guys are allowed to play other properties. But then we'll play a home game somewhere. I have a location. So I play a little bit here, a little bit there. I don't really play tournaments anywhere right now, but, you know, this next month I'm going to relax and get ready for the series because that's, you know, my go time. And
I feel like that definitely gets talked about, but probably not enough. Like, it's, you just don't play that often, but when you do play, you play a lot, but you've just been doing this for a while now, right? Like,
yeah,
you're crushing these huge series.
So like, based on my results, people think I play like a full schedule. It's like, I've ran so good at some of my high equity spots or the few times I go somewhere that it looks like I'm going everywhere. It's like, no, I just happen to go win a tournament every time I leave my house. So, you know, I'm very spoiled. I'm running so far above expectation, but I don't know.
Are you done like traveling for the big online series?
So it's funny. Me and my wife were actually just had a discussion right before the interview started. She assumed I was going to go play Scoop. I was actually not planning on playing Scoop. Part of the reason is because I just don't think it's profitable enough. I can't beat the no limit. PLO, I'm probably break even. And then the mixed games are great, but the fields are so small.
Yeah, that's the problem, because the mixed games are, I mean, those are your bread and butter. And I just feel like those are so small these days where, and then everyone in the no limit, you're just battling against, like, there's some value, I'm sure, but it's
still not for me. I mean, not at like the high, like, I'm sure I can beat the lows and the mediums, because I mean, anyone can with what, you know, but right. I just, it's tough for me not to play a full schedule. And also, like, because I never play it, I'm not used to 20 tabling anymore. There's so many things that I used to be so accustomed to that I'm still good when I do it. And a few times I've gone in the last few years, I felt very comfortable playing a lot of tables. But yeah, just, it's not worth it. It's not worth being away from my family. I'm not learning enough about my game. I don't study enough. And so I just say, you know what? If I just keep printing money at the five stops I make a year, that's fine. If I don't, whatever, I'll live off real estate. And, you know, I got enough money stashed away.
Before we let you go, you're officially throwing your hat in the ring. You're going for player of the year again this year at the WSOP.
Going for it again is not what's going to happen. I'm going to finally win it. I've gotten cheated out of it 1 year. I played unfortunate last year. You know, I didn't have a good series as far as I'm concerned, even though I won a massive tournament. If you look at my other results, I did so fucking bad that one of my normal ways of judging my series is remove my highest score. Did I break even? And without my highest score, I lost like 75%. So I did really fucking bad last year. So I got to do better this year. And yeah, if you guys can get any side action, bet on me versus anyone heads up for player of the year. I'm going to win it more than anyone else.
All right. Well, you have my, well, besides Phil Helmuth, you have my full support.
Besides Phil Helmuth.
Yeah. I mean, that's our guy.
I'm not ahead of Phil.
Nah, come on.
Wow. I will be only a two-time guest of the Cracking Ace podcast for that. So when you guys come to the fish fry, Nate's gonna have to pay. You guys get it for free.
Phil is just such a one-of-a-kind character, and Jake Toole up there and I disagree on him. And every time Jake Toole says, like, I can't stand him, it just makes me love him even more.
I've always been a big Phil defender. I defend him even last week when people called him out for the heads-up thing. And, like, that guy went there to piss off Phil. That was his sole goal. And then Phil got pissed off and everyone's mad at Phil. So, like, come on. That guy obviously wanted to needle him. He's obviously a fun guy. Like, Pearson's a good guy. He was there to entertain. He did a great job entertaining. Phil, when he was away from the table, recognized it made great TV. It wasn't malicious. It's just like, if I slow roll Phil Helmuth, he wouldn't get offended. If other people would, he probably would. But he knows with me what the intention is. And as soon as he realized the intention from that guy, they made peace. And they're probably going to do a high-stakes match on Poker Go. Everyone will tune in and make great TV. And that's what we need, is more proper showmanship. Let the shit-talking happen, not the shitty stuff in the background, like, you know, the rest of this podcast has been about.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I think the reason people were, quote-unquote, mad at Phil is because we just wanted to see him give it back, you know. It's like,
I think a lot of people called him a hypocrite. They're like, Phil's getting so mad that he's giving it, but like,
it was because he should have just given it back.
Well, unfortunately, I was too busy on my match. I haven't been able to rewatch it yet, so I definitely want to actually watch it. But Phil is Phil, and he's got the only thing higher on his own ability, like, is his no limit hold'em ability. He really thinks and believes he's top three. That's probably insulting to even say he thinks he's top three.
Yeah,
he thinks he's number one, and it doesn't matter what other smarter people tell him, he'll always believe that. And I love Phil for his stubbornness. I love him for wearing his heart on his sleeve. And if we had 10 Phil Helmuths in poker, we'd be more mainstream than any other sport.
Well said. Very, very well said. And that's why I love him.
But you still should root for me more.
I am. I'm kidding.
I don't believe you. You're trying to bluff. I've seen you try to bluff before live, and you sucked at it.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
New Orleans to New York and back to New Orleans. I know you're taking three seats on
those. It's Newark, but yeah, the United Newark to New Orleans, it's 2.5 hours direct. It's great.
Perfect. What movies do you watch on that, by the way?
I just buy online and just scroll online.
Really? Yeah. You scroll Twitter nonstop?
Yeah, just like, well, yeah, I don't do too much else.
Oh, I'm such a movie guy on planes.
Maybe I need to do that. But
again,
yeah, I'm all over that Nolan flight.
If you go to 3chi.com, I recommend the brownies are super soft, super delicious. I also just take the straight up oil, put a couple drops under my tongue. It does the trick. And, you know, if you don't feel like buying an actual edible, the oils work perfectly just as well. This is exclusive to our listeners. Use Stool 5, get 5% off, get the sticker, use 3chi. I swear by it. I will be using it at Jake Tool's wedding. I got the room with the jacuzzi tub. I paid $20 extra per night for the room with the jacuzzi tub. I'm going to get high and sit in the jacuzzi tub at Jake's wedding. It's going to be fantastic. 3chi.com.
That's great.
Five. Sean hates Bryn.
He sure doesn't like him, does he?
I respect how much Sean Deeb's willing to let the fur fly, though. You know, he'll let
you know. Yeah, that's – he just is who he is.
I respect that. There's a lot, you know,
He'll get in the mud, but, like, he picks his spots to get in the mud. But when he gets in the mud, he's usually on the right side of it, and he has a very good reason to. And this one is, like, Bryn's stolen millions of dollars from my friends, which I think is a fair reason to get in the mud.
Great.
Yeah, I agree.
Jake, any elbow update?
No, just rehabbing the shit out of it. One day I'll be able to bend it.
Oh, that's what I meant.
You're gonna have to dance left-handed at your wedding.
Right.
I think I'll be okay by then.
Like, you're gonna go with like the I want to dance with somebody and just drop her on her head because you don't
mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been practicing that.
I believe it.
I've been working on my left hand strength. You're just gonna go one-handed.
How much longer do you have?
Till what? Till like 100%?
Yeah.
Probably like July.
May.
Couple months.
Okay, that's not terrible.
Yeah, I mean it's just gonna take a while. It's annoying. I feel pathetic doing these exercises, but you got to do them.
Jay, what's your series plan this year? I know obviously with the wedding being right before it, are you just going out toward the end?
Yeah, well, I'm just so busy. The end of June, I'm going to be in Ireland for a wedding. And then the next weekend, the start of July, I have another wedding in Jackson Hole. So I'm literally flying New York to Dublin, Dublin to Jackson Hole, and then Jackson Hole to Vegas on the 4th. Yeah. So I think I'm going to be able to play the last day of the $1 million bounty.
Oh,
and then play the main. Yeah.
I would say you're going to take like 2 days to sleep, but no, you're just going to jump right in.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, whatever. It's only a 1K. So it's just kind of flick it in and try to get lucky.
Yeah, I love it.
And I'm not sure. I might be able to take a day off if I bust that. I can't remember.
You're just buying to the main on day two.
Nah, I can't do that. That's the one tournament. Just I show up at the start and I just, you know, just play it through. But there's some other stuff after, which is nice. So like I'll probably be out there for a week or something.
Nice. All right, let's wrap this bad boy up. What episode has this been?
131.
Well, you're way off. 133, my good bitch. See, you're too busy gallivanting around the South.
Hey, as long as they're saying gallivanting and not boondoggling, I'm okay with it.
Marty Mush keeps saying you're boondoggling. I say gallivanting.
Marty Mush can say whatever he wants. I'm not worried about his opinion. I'm worried about the opinions of the people that sign my paychecks.
Good point. Good point. That's 133. Make sure you subscribe, download, rate 5 stars, leave a review. It all helps. We got some merch in the Barstool store, some Barstool poker stuff, some Karakinesis stuff. We also need to come up with new merch ideas for the series. So let's get brainstorming on that. I don't got much else. Spread the word. Tell all your friends. Follow us on social. Ben Mintz, take us home.
Yeah, flock up, baby.